I'd like now to welcome Julie Sinatra. She's a singer-songwriter. She's the author of the book My Father, Frank Sinatra, and she will be performing tomorrow night, Friday, at 7:30 at El Farol here in Santa Fe, along with her band. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's very nice to be here.
Now, you have written this book, which is called It's actually called Under My Skin, My Father, Frank Sinatra. And you've never actually met Frank Sinatra in person, but you went through a process that led you to believe that he, and not your mother's husband, was your biological father. How did you come to this? What happened? Tell us the story.
It began with a very surprising event that I discuss in Chapter 1 of the book, and that is discovery. I had not ever learned who my true father was, but I did know from age 17 on that I was illegitimate and someone else was my father. But my mother was unapproachable. She would just go ballistic any time I tried to inquire about it. So many years went by. I was 53 years old. I have horses. I was living in Cave Creek, Arizona, in a little adobe tack room that had a makeshift kitchen and a bathroom, and had my horses outside in corrals, and they had a pasture area, so that's why I was willing to live that way, to keep them together with me. And I'd been out feeding them. I came back and decided to turn on the television set and watch evening news, which I normally do on PBS, McNeil Lair. The television was on CBS, because I'd watched the late news the night before. So I was reaching for the dial to change it when they made an announcement that the life story and career of Frank Sinatra movie would return, you know, after the sponsor was, you know. And I thought, Frank Sinatra. I said, never followed his career, but he's a music person and I'm a music person. Maybe I should watch this. Maybe I'll learn something. Well, we were just, I came in at the time when the miniseries on his life had already begun. So he was with Tommy Dorsey, and he was in Hollywood, and unnamed, uncredited, he was singing I'll Never Smile Again, and they brought a little starlet from the back of the studio there because he had to have an audience. Well, this actress playing the starlet came and sat down on a chair in front of the stage, just exactly as I'd watched my mother sit down, cross her legs, dip her chin, and look up with this demure expression in her eyes, very flirtatious. And I thought, why is that familiar, you know? And a few more scenes showing her and Frank Sinatra together. This actress was still portraying my mother almost to the T. And then I remembered innuendos from childhood. An aunt, when I was like 13 or 14, visiting her, brought me in from playing with my cousins. She said, come in, Julie, and sit down here. I'm going to play a Frank Sinatra record for you. You should at least hear his music. So, I mean, can you imagine how dumbfounded a youngster is, you know, and why was it at least? And the words at least hung in the back of my head all my life. So here I am at 53, watching this starlet now, you know, playing my mother in a relationship with Frank Sinatra. So more little innuendos, little missing puzzle pieces all throughout my life started dropping into my mind. And I won't go through all of them because we'd be talking about the whole chapter. But there were quite a number. It was quite a list. And by the time I got through, and this all took a matter of seconds, they were flooding in, I said, oh, my God, I'm Frank Sinatra's daughter. And my mother then confirmed it a few months later when I finally was brave enough to ask her straight out.
Why had she kept it from you all those years?
There's probably a number of reasons. My answer here really covers now a period of about 4 years of answering that question for myself. So my book reads like a mystery unfolding as the readers find out with me what was behind this secret, why it was kept for over half century. But one of the reasons that was original, of course, was in those days when the Hollywood players were with the studios had a morals clause. And you don't have an illegitimate baby by someone married when you're married too and expect to have a career in Hollywood, and it would have ruined his career.
And she wanted to protect him?
No, I don't think she even thought that far. She did approach him, but he wasn't home when she called to say she was carrying me and I was about to be born, which would have been February 1943. And she didn't reach him, he wasn't home, but word got to his publicist that she had called about this, and the publicist, George Evans, contacted her and said, Dorothy, that was her name, this baby is not going to be Frank Sinatra's baby, it's going to be your husband's baby. And here's why. You won't have a career, and you will ruin his, and his is just starting. So you're not going to tell Frank Sinatra that this is his baby. You're going to tell him it's your husband's child. So that's exactly what she did.
And then you were raised thinking that was your father.
No, yes, I was raised thinking that Mr. Limer, her first husband, was my father. But I was actually raised by, she divorced Mr. Limer barely after I was born. So I was raised by a stepfather, and he created a whole different lifestyle for me because he moved us out in the country in California with horses. So I began taking lessons. I became a country girl. I could ride out in the wilderness in those days, if you can imagine, and maybe some people in New Mexico will remember those days here when you could ride ranch to ranch and never run into, you know, a no trespassing sign. As long as you shut the gate properly, you could just keep going forever on horseback. So it was a wonderful, free childhood and very special. And I probably would not have had that experience if I had been raised, you know, with my father in the Beverly Hills lifestyle.
Now, he was a, to use a term of the time, ladies' man,
yes.
Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
So your mother was one of many, and Lord knows how many of you there are out there.
Well, there could be others. I have been approached, and I am looking into a possible sibling that I think might be for real. I'm cautious. Understandably, I've been through a lot, you know, these past 12 years since finding out who I am, and so I want to feel comfortable, and then when I do, then I will do the DNA, and then we'll have another story to tell. But so far, this is just a recent approach, and so I'll save that for later. But my mother had a long-term relationship with Frank Sinatra. It went on for years, apparently, and she never, ever told him I was his.
So even after you were born, and did he ever see you?
Yes, I was at a party at his house that he had.
As like a toddler or something?
Yeah, as one of the toddlers, a child belonging to one of the gals from the studio. And he needed bodies to bring over for little Nancy's birthday party. And there's a totally mysterious incident that I remembered only partly and not correctly as a child, because my mother would say when I would bring it up, Julie, I have to correct you, because what I was doing is having a memory about being somewhere that was a secret, because her whole Hollywood life was a secret.
So she never even really wanted to talk to you about that?
No, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment, but let me just, for the sake of your listeners, see if I can quicken up this story. A little porcelain bird was dropped or knocked accidentally off a table by one of the small children at that birthday party. And my dad was hosting the party. It wasn't his wife, Nancy Barbato Sinatra. He was doing the hosting that day. And so Nancy became, little Nancy Jr., became very upset and shouted, that was my mother's favorite, how can you be so careless? So I guess a year or so went by, and by that time, Mother was actually forced, and I'll tell you what that is, to leave Hollywood and to live back up in Sacramento. So all that life in Hollywood was buried. In fact, my photographs of me start at age 4 in 1947. I had no idea we'd ever lived in Hollywood, not until all this came out in my mid-50s. So anyway, what happens was I knocked over one of my mother's little glass menagerie ducks And it fell on the floor, and my stepfather-to-be was visiting, and I said, "How? I'm so sorry I was so careless." You know, I started remembering Nancy shouting. And my mother immediately intervened to get this story to disappear, thinking I would have the full memory, you see. I didn't. I was confused as to this bird dropping that day in Sacramento and the one that dropped on the floor back in Hollywood, you know.
So you went through, we're talking to Julie Sinatra. She's a singer-songwriter, and she's author of the book Under My Skin, My Father, Frank Sinatra. You, once you found this out, you put it together for yourself, your mother confirmed it, and then you had a choice, which was whether to try to find him, who was very old at that time, and not quite, really not healthy anymore, and he died shortly thereafter, you never met him. Choosing to seek him out to try to get to know your biological siblings, to be recognized legally, to engage in all these court cases that you went through. Why did you decide to do that? That's a tough road to follow.
Because it's identity. And I think I think if this had been something I had known all along, my dad and I would have found our own private way to have a relationship. I've learned enough about him through friends that were close to him, people that have talked to me have come forward, that he certainly never would have turned his back on one of his children. As far as fitting in with the three known children, Nancy, Frank Jr., and Tina, that may have been awkward for him. He may have forced it upon them, and it could be that they would have resented it. You know, we can just guess forever. But bottom line is, he didn't know. He probably knew about me as supposedly Mr. Lima's daughter. So,
but I guess what I'm getting at is there's identity that you know in your heart, and then there's identity that's recognized publicly by everybody, and you chose the latter path.
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. I tend to take too long to get to something. Yes, I think because this knowledge was denied me, that it became even more focused in my mind that I was determined to establish my true identity. If it hadn't been denied, and in other words, I was saying, if my father and I had known each other, we'd had our own little relationship, or my mother had told me from the beginning who I was, then it may have just been something I adjusted to.
Right.
But I didn't adjust. I was shocked. My whole world was turned upside down, and I'm a musician. You know, I'm a singer and a songwriter. And so, you know, 17, I wanted to go out and do folk music and be with the gang out there, Joan Baez and Joni Mitchell, and I probably would have had a door that would have opened. Who knows? But I felt that it was deeper than that. When I would do music, even as a youngster, for instance, in high school, my mother would call the teacher and say, "No, I don't want Julie to do the solo." In other words, this secret was always a threat to her. And there's a reason for it in my books. It's an occurrence that happened in 1947 that I had no idea about. So there was a very dramatic reason why she was so overboard on keeping this secret, and to the point of really trying to annihilate who I was. So instead of growing up confident about who I was and embracing life and the world, it was like, who am I, in a sense?
Right.
Intelligence, yes, some energy, but lost. So when this came in, this information at 53, for me, it was like life starting anew. It was like, oh gosh, yes, of course I have music. Oh gosh, yes, I grabbed my guitar and went out and played a gig at a local club in Cave Creek, Arizona.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So have you actually met the so-called legitimate Sinatra children?
I've talked with Frank Jr. We had two conversations a year or two apart on the phone. And, you know, it was an interesting conversation. I wouldn't say it was normal, but in a sense it was easy for us to talk with each other. I mean, you know, the blood is there. And he said at one point, we're the closest in age. And then another point in the conversation, he would say, "Well, what do you want? you know, like I was a threat.
Well, I imagine they think that you were trying to get money from the
threat
legacy.
Posing, and I said, my answer was my identity, because the whole thing was about my identity. And I had no idea, you know, I wasn't sophisticated enough at that time to understand what a big threat to the family it was. But they knew Dad. I had to take time to know that he wouldn't turn back his back on a child. So I wasn't denied inheritance. I was what you call a pretermitted heir. The father did not know. He was not able to call this out. And once I understood that, I knew that I should go to court, not for big money, but because that was the only place that could legitimize my identity. And I did not want to not be Julie Sinatra after all the years of not knowing that's who I was.
Right.
And how do you go in the world and say, hi, I'm the kid of an icon? Well, you have to have some paperwork. So that's what I did.
Julie Sinatra is a singer-songwriter. She's author of the book Under My Skin, My Father, Frank Sinatra. And she will be performing at El Farol tomorrow, Friday evening at 7:30, along with her band, El Farol, here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me, Mary Charlotte.
We look forward to seeing you at El Farol.
Great.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Good Morning Jazz presents the monthly Women in Jazz Hour.